Hi there. You are listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley, your host. Habits into Health programs, including this podcast, are all about helping you become healthier and happier by changing problem habits into healthy behaviors. Today's show is about the health consequences of social jet lag. This is not just a personal habit, but it's actually a worldwide phenomenon that more and more of us experience when the demands of daily life or the social clock don't match up with our own biological needs and rhythms, our internal clock. This episode is the last in a series about the T in HALT, which is shorthand for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. We've been exploring different aspects of tired the last few weeks, and, reminding yourself to halt when you recognize that you're tired is a good thing. Pause, breathe, take a break, because getting too tired can weaken your resolve to stick with your habit change plan. In Habits into Health, before we start our topic, we do a little exercise, and that's where you get to tune in to your physical sensations. We say, let your body lead, so your mind doesn't have to. These exercises, well, they're a chance to step back from thinking about and step into being with. Yeah, you won't burn a lot of calories here. This is not about performance or even reaching a specific health or fitness goal. In fact, the exercises I've learned and am passing on to you can be applied to sports or any other activity that you do, from reading to building a fence. I'm thinking of several clients who practice yoga, and they use the Habits into Health framework as a part of their yoga practice. A few years ago, when I had rotator cuff injuries, first to one shoulder and then later to another, my health practitioners were really amazed at how effectively I recovered. I even showed some of them what I was doing directly that helped me amplify the effects of the physical therapy that they offered. By the way, I can't take credit for inventing the methods that Habits into Health exercises come from. I learned them from others, but I have applied them to the problem that so many people have in dealing with problem habits, from relatively benign behaviors like chewing fingernails to painful habits like overeating or low self-esteem to life-threatening behaviors like drug addiction. All problem habits share a common source. And this is what I've learned over the years, and that's the inability to self-regulate. Self-regulation involves action, and action starts at the smallest level, before thought. So each exercise involves an invitation for you to take a few minutes to be attentive to what's going on physically, tapping into this inner level of action, of bodily experience that is the basis for any change in behavior. In the Habits into Health exercises, I offer suggestions, and you can follow in whatever way works for you. My only suggestion is that you do it as a discipline, so that you come to recognize your baseline, from which you then can experiment with what works. I also invite you to let me know about your experiences by going to habitsintohealth.com, because your feedback is important. You can remain anonymous, and all comments are moderated, so you can even ask me not to post your comment publicly. Let's get into action with today's exercise. I invite you to place a hand on your upper chest right now, so that your hand is in between and a little above your breasts. If doing this isn't convenient in the moment, just be attentive to this area. And notice as best as you can any direct sensory experience. For instance, you might experience movement, the beat of your heart, or the rhythm associated with breathing. Now, you don't have to come up with an answer in words, although if this happens, notice this as well. For example, you might hear yourself speak what's called self-talk. In this case, notice as best as you can where you experience the physical sensation of self-talk. You might be attentive to the area around your throat where the voice box is, or inside your ears where you hear. Those are examples. The sound waves of hearing have physical components that we usually don't attend to or consider as voluntary, but we can bring our voluntary attention there. And now you can bring your attention back to your chest. Do you experience warmth? Or perhaps coolness? The contact could be anywhere on the range of temperature. Right now, as I do this, I notice that although my hand feels warm, my shirt is cool to the touch. So there's a mix. I also invite you to recognize the structure of your chest. Do you seem to sink in? Are you braced or stiffened? Do you jut out your chest? Just be attentive to the quality of this and what your sense of yourself is right now. Even the act of bringing your hand to your chest or putting your attention there can have an impact. Does it fit that when you do this, you feel yourself slowing down or perhaps speeding up? Maybe you pace yourself and slow down a little bit, or maybe you feel your heart racing or you feel nervous. Perhaps you feel energized or perhaps you feel subdued. There is no right or wrong. In Habits into Health, we're only giving yourself permission to be attentive to what is. And this is a practice, a habit in itself. All of these actually involve muscular action. From the ever-present beat of your heart, or the movement involved in bringing air into your lungs and sending air out of your lungs, to the generation of temperature, to the structural shape that you're in. What is activated muscularly in your chest right now on these various levels? And you know, you can also be aware that if you don't recognize much, this is pretty common. Most of us have been trained to put our mental activity at the forefront, even as we go about routine daily activities that are physical, simple activities like sitting, standing, walking. And we tend to notice the physical primarily through discomfort or pain, like an ache or a tension, an itch or a scratch. It takes practice to awaken to your physicality from a place of presence rather than from pain. So just notice how you're in your chest right now. And be with this as we continue this episode about today's topic. You are listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm your guide for this podcast. If you're new to Habits into Health, come visit. Habitsintohealth.com is the website, and you can comment anonymously or publicly about a specific podcast. You'll also find other episodes that might appeal to you on the podcast menu, and there are also articles, and I blog occasionally as well. You can follow Habits into Health programs on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and you can subscribe to the latest updates to the website. If you want to discover ways to soften a problem habit so that it doesn't control you, you can start by asking me to send you a free self-assessment questionnaire, and I'll also add you to my email list for more information moving forward. So let's talk about our topic today. I recently learned about a study on something that's called social jet lag. It's kind of an intriguing term, piqued my curiosity, and it comes from a large study at the University of Munich in Germany, about the problem of weight gain and obesity, which is on the rise throughout the world. The lead researcher, Till Ronenberg, says, quote, "The plot that social jet lag is really bad for our health is thickening." Some of this is another twist on recent Habits into Health podcast, where we explored a link between sleep deprivation and weight gain. It just so happens that waking up to an alarm is not natural. The Munich researchers say if you need an alarm to wake up, it means you haven't gotten enough sleep. We are daylight creatures, we humans, and our biological clock is set to wake us up as the sun rises. And then when darkness comes, biologically, our organic rhythm sends us into sleep and the replenishment that dream time brings. Well, the research shows that we're getting ourselves into trouble health-wise because the social clock that we live by, staying up later into the night especially, doesn't respect or honor our internal biological clocks. Over the past 10 years, the Munich team has been compiling data on people, and they've been tracking height and weight and sleeping and waking behavior patterns. They say they plan to produce a worldwide sleep map to demonstrate what they've found, but their analysis at this point shows that the more that your waking and sleeping pattern differs from your organic biological clock, the more likely you are to be in severe social jet lag. And it turns out you're also more likely to be overweight or to be gaining weight. This was reported in Science Daily, which is a great resource, by the way, where they said that living against the clock is a factor in this worldwide epidemic of obesity. On a public policy level, the researchers say that their studies should be considered in decisions about daylight savings time, work hours, and school times, all of which are social constructs, not biological ones. And you know, it occurs to me that even in the field of architecture, people should take a hint. We all know that the corner office is a status symbol because it has a window. But how many of us realize that access to daylight is not just about having a great view? It's essential to health. But what could you do about this in your own life, especially if you don't have a whole lot of power over whether you have a window at work? Well, if you find that you're awake into the night and then tired during the day, especially if you notice that you're gaining weight, you can reset your own clock to a healthier rhythm by doing these things. First is sit by a window whenever you can. Even if it's not at work, sit by a window when you're away from work. Number two, the researchers say spend more time outdoors in open daylight. And I think that would be even more important if you work in a windowless environment. Three, if you're a shift worker, especially on the graveyard shift where you're up all night, you're probably better off if you stay up after you've gotten off work for a while and then set your sleep cycle so that you wake up before you're heading to work, just like daytime workers do. And I know this is a drag on the social life because so much of social things happen in the evenings, but it's so very important for your health to have contact with the sun that I encourage you to get as much as you can. And if you cannot do these things for one reason or another, consider installing full-spectrum lighting to give yourself as much light that is close to sunlight as possible. Even a full-spectrum light bulb in your office could help. For more information, you can check out the Lighting Research Center at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and that website is lrc.rpi.edu. That's lrc.rpi.edu. As one of the social jet lag researchers says, quote, good sleep and enough sleep is not a waste of time, but a guarantee for better work performance and more fun with friends and family during off-work times. The social jet lag dynamic is just one more reinforcement for understanding the tired part of HALT. And HALT is a great self-caring reminder that getting too hungry, angry, lonely, and or tired gets in the way of stabilizing your changes of habit. So if you notice that you're tired, just pause for a moment. Take a break. It could be just for a second or two, or it could be for 5 minutes. Give yourself a breather, and it may help stabilize those changes of habit. Well, it's time for me to sign off for now, and I'm hoping that you'll join me this week in moving forward around protecting your sleep time by getting to bed earlier and noticing what happens to your waking cycle. In Habits Into Health, we start small, and we encourage kindness. This is a no-blame process. And if you want to know more, visit habitsintohealth.com and request a small self-assessment questionnaire to discover more. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you have been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.